Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, please give us heavenly guidance and wisdom so that we are able to seek and perfectly fit into your eternal plan. And thank you for your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was blessed this month to have received, two donations to this broadcast. One especially said how much they appreciated my public presentation at the Paradise Performing Arts Center a few weeks before the campfire in 2018. That presentation which I gave was very important to me because I have seen quite a few troubles in life and disasters that people have to get through. So what I could see was that if people have a little bit of preparedness items, they can get through a disaster ever so much easier than if they have nothing. So that's why I urge everyone to have some even basic preparedness items so that you can get through any trouble that is coming. It even shows us how we can share our Christian love with our neighbor by helping our neighbor with kindness. And over the years, I have listened to the experts that are warning America about what could happen to America. And I think that the one that gets me the most is how these experts will say that our entire nation could suffer a catastrophic grid-down event. And if that were to happen, it could last a long, long time. And it's not like there's other supplies to help us. I mean, you might think the army will come in and help give people extra food. Or maybe the Salvation Army will, or maybe the Red Cross. But I'll tell you, every one of those organizations, they don't have any extra food. They just have enough food for their immediate need. And they don't store food. So if you want to be safe, you will have your own storehouse of food. I mean, that's just too plain and obvious. If our country had a really big, bad problem, it could turn into something that would be a very major event very quickly. And we have to get a little grasp of that to realize how important it is to have our own personal preparedness. And it's all going to be different for each one of us. We all will have a different idea of what to do. But the important thing is that every one of us ought to have a preparedness, preparedness supplies. That's what we want to do. And I think about how we pray for this and we pray for that, and we wish that things could be different sometimes. And and I think of my prayers in the past. When I think of, let's just say, when I was a teenager, I had an idea of what I wanted, and I prayed for this and for that. And now I am thankful that God did not give me what I requested. I am grateful that in God's perfect will, that he let some things disappear, pass away, just become ignored. And other things, which I would not have expected, he brought them to the forefront and made that something of interest that we watched and embraced. Well, we learn to be thankful to God for all that he has given us. And we also thank God for what he has prevented us from having. I certainly have learned my lessons about that in life. And thank you, Jesus, for what you gave me and for what you withheld from me that I asked for. I'm just thinking about riches. You know how many people want riches, and that's their great desire in life. To have riches. And yet, in the Bible, the examples of people who have riches, they're not always the best examples. I think of two people in particular in the Bible. One was Nadab, Abigail's rich husband, and how that was in 1 Samuel chapter 25, and how he was selfish, and God took his life one very night. So that's the thing about having riches, is we don't quite know where this will end up. I think of another example in the Bible about riches, and that is the man who planned to tear down his barns and build bigger barns so that he could store up all the grain that he had harvested. But that very night that he was having those plans, God took his life. That was in Luke 12:18. So we don't exactly know what is in store for us, but we know we want to be faithful, and that's for sure. Faithful to God, Jesus. It seems that those two people in the Bible had greed in their hearts. And you have to assume that that is what happened that caused God to take men's life. Well, there's a huge range of people who have this and who have that and who have troubles. We have certainly known about people in life and in the Bible who have tried to do one thing or another. Some have been successful and some have not. But we have examples of trouble and grief that are in this life. And that is not always easy to get through, trouble and grief. That reminds me of a true story, which I'm going to tell you, about a Christian couple who served God, and their son was an only child. And their son went into the missionary field, and there was a tragedy. And their son died in some far-off country. That couple had to give thanks and say that we have to give thanks in all things. We don't understand what has happened, but God calls on us to give thanks, and so we will. And what they gave thanks to the Lord for was counting them worthy of so great a trial. That stuck with me for a while. That's a tough one. It's a tough one to hear. It's a tough one to bear. And I just thought of what a lot of faith that that Christian couple had. Wow. But I've seen a lot of things in life. I've seen a lot of people have lots of examples of the good and the bad and the trouble. And so many people have had trial upon trial to bear. So sad. So much pain. And that's the world. That's the world. And we can be thankful that this world is not our home. We have a heavenly home, and we can be thankful for that. Well, there's so many things that get done in this world that are just so awful. I'm thinking back to Kings 25:1. Oh, let's see. It was Zedekiah. Zedekiah, he was a king, and his country was overthrown by another neighboring country, and that king was going to be killed. But the enemies of Israel wanted Zedekiah to have some really awful pain. So what they did was they took his sons and killed them right before his very eyes. And then they poked out his eyes so that the last thing that he would have seen was the image of his sons being killed. How could anybody think of such an awful thing? Well, people do. And today, we have such a great evil present with us. It's here. It certainly is. And surely there are compassionate Christians, but there are some really evil people in the world. So there's both. And what are we to do? How are we to deal with this? Well, I think a big part of what we are told is that we overcome evil with good. And we use wisdom and biblical knowledge to protect ourselves from what is evil. There is that adage, all that is necessary for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. Probably you have half an idea about what evil goes on both in our world and in our country. If you have half an idea of how bad it really is, you can understand how important it is to pray for God's righteousness, to come up against that evil and just be God's righteousness. I know human trafficking is a very great problem. Just a few days ago, I was listening to Dr. James Dobson, and he and his guest spoke about that great travesty of human trafficking. And we have to know that there is really a great evil in this world. And the way we overcome evil is with good, and that's something we all have to do. Search for good and show the goodness of God. It's so terrible when we find the poor, innocent children suffering, and the Bible tells us about God hating it when the innocent suffer. Our system, our legal system, in our country has really become messed up. Oh, I'm thinking about 5 years ago, a U.S. Green Beret beat up an Afghan army officer for having a young boy chained to that Afghani officer's bed. And that was a custom in Afghanistan. And the U.S. Army responded first by saying that they were going to dishonorably discharge that Green Beret. And then public sentiment grew and grew, and the U.S. Army had to reverse that decision. Thankfully. Well, what a terrible thing it is when things like that occur. Well, I just mean we have evil in this world. It is clear and present in so many areas and so many levels. 4 days ago, I heard on a Christian news broadcast that very young children were being sold at the U.S.-Mexican border for $3,000 to $4,000 each with no paperwork. Wow. It hurts me to even think with half a thought about what horror awaits those children. Unfortunately, I had a very small intellectual knowledge about the evil that people do and that they would do to children. And it just makes my guts hurt. And why did I even bring up this subject? Well, because it is real. It is going on. It is tragic. And we need to stand up and be the righteousness of Christ as we seek God's righteousness in this world. And if we allow evil, evil will grow. The child sacrifice in our country is very terrible. It certainly does go on. And most of us, we don't even think about it. We're not aware of it. We don't hear anything about it because the news doesn't say it. The people on the radio don't say it. But, I've only been a little bit of on the edge of hearing these stories, and it is so horrendous when you hear about what happens in the areas where there are, let's just say witches, covens, and demonic people, and they have some practices that are so evil, it would hurt your guts to know about them. So, we have these things going on in the United States, real evil, and it is for us to stand up for God's righteousness. We have to stand up for God's righteousness, or evil, well, it'll get more and more. And we are supposed to do all the things that the commandments tell us to do. I'm thinking of one thing in particular. The commandments tell us that we are not to steal. That is against God's law. That's the eighth commandment. And let's see, 1 Corinthians 6:9 says it also. Oh, Revelation 21:8 says it even more strongly, that if you are a thief or a liar or immoral, you will go to the lake of fire, the fire of sulfur. What a horrible place to be. You're going to go to hell. So we want to do everything we can to follow God, Jesus, and avoid that fiery fire of hell. It is eternally important that we live according to God's will. And we want to live holy. That's what we are told to do. We are told to live holy. And there's quite a few people who believe that they can keep sinning because God, Jesus, will forgive them. Oh boy, sounds really dangerous to me. That is not, oh, well, it's, the part of it is yes in the Bible, and part of it is no in the Bible. And to me, I just wouldn't want to take any chance. I want to live holy. That's my desire. So if there is one thing that we need to be willing to do, it's do everything that we can so that we can avoid the eternal fire of hell and torment. That's what we want to do. So once you know about it, just keep on the track and continue doing what you need to do to live a holy and godly life. Go to heaven, not hell. So that's what we do. We can read in the Bible about heaven and about hell, and you certainly know that you want heaven and not hell. Wow. Well, sometimes I kind of wonder how I start on a subject, but I just did. I started on this subject, and here we go in our society. We have theft going on every level. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. Yes, there's people who do white-collar crime. Yes, there's people who steal office supplies. Yes, there's people who, they do everything. And the thing is we're supposed to not steal. That's the commandment. Do not steal. And when I think of what's been going on in Los Angeles for the last months, oh, this is with the Union Pacific Railroad, where they say 90 shipping containers a day are broken into, and the boxes are rifled through, and the empty boxes litter the railroad tracks in Los Angeles. I think there's a whole lot of things that we are missing because it goes through Los Angeles, and those boxes are torn open and pilfered instead of delivered to the people they're supposed to be delivered to. Well, I do have to point out that this is allowed to go on because there's some very liberally minded people who promote the philosophy of George Soros. And he contributes hundreds of thousands of dollars to various campaigns across the state and across the country to elect liberal district attorneys. And these district attorneys do not stop the theft that goes on. Or they let people go with little or no consequence. That's going on. That's going on. We have a lot going on in our country. And are you willing to watch your country decay? Or are you willing to put some prayer into this? Are you willing to pray for our country and its righteousness? Are you willing to pray and support any ministries that help correct the evil in this country? And by the way, how much prayer are you putting into this direction? Do you pray more than a few minutes a day? I don't know. I'm asking you that. You answer the question. It's not for me to know. It's for you to answer and just try to figure out. If you are not praying for the righteousness of Christ to be in our country, then we are allowing the evil to continue everywhere throughout our country. And therefore, I hope you do pray for God's righteousness to be throughout our country. Follow God. Now, all of us today have been shielded from the real evil that goes on in the world. And so we tend to think that we won't actually have to confront evil because we haven't had to confront it up until this point. But look around. You can see evil is growing. And if there's nothing else you do, at least pray against evil. Pray for God's church to strengthen and become dominant in this country. That's what we want to find happen. We need to have it happen. We need to have meetings and conferences. Oh, yeah, I remember meetings and conferences that I went to. Oh, I guess it's been more like 30 years ago. 25, 30 years ago. And I found out that there's some really, really serious evil that goes on in our nation. I was kind of innocent, and I didn't know about all the things that went on. It was shocking to me to find out that there really were evil things that went on. Very evil. And so we have to recognize that evil is real, and that we want to have nothing to do with it. Therefore, we want to uphold God's righteousness. I talk about how bad things are, sort of, and it brings me no pleasure to talk about the evil in the world. It really doesn't. I don't like it at all. But if we don't realize that it is really a real thing, we might not get motivated to do anything about it. So I want to remind you that evil is real, and that we want to support the Christian causes and Christian organizations that combat that evil and decay in our society. Our nation and our society has been a Christian body of Christ for so long. Sure, it's not perfect. It has never been perfect. There have been problems, but there has still been the orientation to have the body of Christ be strong in the United States. So we want to strengthen with our prayer the body of Christ and our Christian family. Do it as you are led by the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. Our prayers are important. And if we do not stand for the righteousness of Christ, then who would stand for the righteousness of Christ? We can already see that in our country there is great deterioration, and it is probably headed for a collapse. And you can see that that's true. You can see that we are teetering on the edge of some really big, serious problems. And this is important for our prayers to make a difference for upholding the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we do that on many levels, because our nation is headed on many levels towards a collapse. And our prayers make a difference. And so does the causes that we support. I hope that you send a few dollars here and there to one ministry or another, because there are many good ministries around that need your donations. Well, the U.S. is having plenty of economic decisions going on that are destabilizing the U.S. dollar. If you look, you can see that our legislative branch of government keeps on spending and borrowing and spending, and the Federal Reserve accommodates that spending by printing electronic dollars. It expands the supply over and over again. And it is a repeated pattern over the last years. It's been so obvious. I think you look at the information from the Federal Reserve, and there is a talk about how they are spending $100 to $130 billion a month to increase our money supply. Now, sometimes they cut back. They say they're going to cut back, and they do. They cut back to $90 billion per month. Or sometimes they say they're going to cut back, and they don't. They increase it to $150 billion per month. So what we've got here is an increasing money supply, and that creates inflation. Our economy can easily withstand plenty of this. We have a huge, giant economy. But we just don't know at one point the balance becomes too heavy in one direction and we go off the deep edge. It does concern me that there is an ever-increasing supply of dollars that has been going on for years now. And everyone in our nation seems to just accept it because, well, it makes for money and people like money. But the printing of U.S. dollars that is going on cannot last forever. And at one point, it will make a very serious problem. I know, as a history guy, I do expect the problems to come to a real great big head and make a real great big problem. Call it a collapse, sure. The World Economic Forum, while they do not tell who is saying what or what their plans might be, they do have some discussion of what their plans are. And one of them was the 2016 video that they produced saying that we will all own nothing and we will be happy. So I think we know that that's pretty much their goal. It's an indicator of what the World Economic Forum wants. And there's some very big, important people who belong to that one. There's a certain group of people who are saying that in 2025, the U.S. dollar will collapse. Well, they say not just the U.S. dollar, the U.S. economy will collapse, and the U.S. will collapse. How do we even know that? I don't think we do. But we have to know that that is something that they, the World Economic Forum, is considering or even planning. And a part of that means there's going to be inflation and hyperinflation, which will make a lot of instability. Some very great instability. And that means everything will fall apart. That's what it has meant for every country that has been through this in the last 100 years. It's just that we are doing the same thing, And somehow we think we're not going to have the same results because we're the United States. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I think we are going to see a great big collapse, and then we're going to see huge inflation. And look around. What can you do to make sure that this does not affect you? Oh, maybe I'll talk about that another time. But the point here is that everybody knows there's some things that you can do to avoid the problems that come with inflation. And you know what plenty of them are. You just have to figure out how to apply your understanding with what you can do with your financial situation. There's lots of people who have lots of ideas about what you can do. Do I know what to tell you to do? Yeah, I guess I have some ideas, but I have found that people don't want to do what they're told to do. But if they search out the information themselves, they want to do what they have discovered to do. So I say, just be aware that these problems could be very real and come quicker than you think. Therefore, do something about it. And the only way for you to do something about it is for you to examine the problem and then do what makes sense to you. An economic crisis seems to be on the edge of happening. And I think of what will happen to the country. I think of the young people who could not handle the pressures of the COVID problem. Remember when that happened? That was last year. There were 100,000 overdoses among people aged 18 to 45 because they were taking that fentanyl drug or another opioid substance, and they overdosed and killed themselves. So what's going on with that? Is it that they couldn't handle the stress and they were looking for a comfortable place to be for a while? Yeah, that could be. But whatever the problem is, you have to know that if that happened last year, it could happen again when the real economic crisis comes about. That's a good question. It's a good question. We have to be very aware of our enemies, and our enemies are China, who is bringing fentanyl into Mexico first, and then people bring it across the U.S.-Mexican border into this country. Sometimes it is stronger than it used to be, and people have overdose deaths. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Look at reality. What is God's reality? That's, I think, the best thing. I remember 25 years ago, there were a few prophetic people. Oh boy. I have a real problem with prophetic people because I don't want to believe what they have to say. But when there's a consistency, I pay a little more attention to them. And so that makes me think back to 25 or so years ago. There were some prophetic people, like Dimitri Dudeman, Henry Groover, Chuck Youngbrand. Another one was, this is not the same. Ken Peters had some of these same direction of prophetic thought, but it wasn't the same. But those other guys had some real, strongly paralleled visions about what was coming to the United States of America. So, 25 years ago, long time ago. Yeah, long time ago. Is it true? Is it not true? Certainly, I have been wondering that all this time. But I think about what caught my attention, and that is their consistency at that time. And so it's kind of stuck with me, and I remember, oh, that there was a consistent theme among those, oh, sure, I don't know, I just don't like to even call them prophets, but I'm going to call them prophets for right now. And again, I reference the combination of what these various different people said, how there would be calamity in the United States, and that there would be troops from Russia and China that would come to the United States to help bring order. And then the troops would not leave. So that reminds me of a couple other things that have to do with that direction of prophetic understanding, if I may call it that, is that those people that came into this country, the troops, would eventually be fought and leave our country. And that was a part of George Washington's vision, that there would be cities and outposts that would, even though the American lights had gone dim, that the American lights of cities and small communities would turn on again. It's, to me, it's a bit of hope. So when I say these things, I think of it as hope, not about trouble. But if trouble is coming, I think it would do us well to prepare for it, to consider that it just might happen. And then, what should we do? What should we do if we really are going to have these problems? Foreign troops in the United States. I wonder. I think about, it's been a long thing for me. I've thought about this for a long time. China's Three Gorges Dam. There has been plenty of discussion about how improperly built it was, and that there would be a collapse of that Three Gorges Dam, and it would devastate China's ability to grow crops. And, you know, there's no better motivation for a country to invade another country than to get food. And the United States is the breadbasket of the world. So maybe you think that it's a little bit odd to think like this, but it might not be either. So look at the historical pattern of what happens when countries run out of food. What happens? They steal the food from another country. That's just the way it's always been. And I think of what's gone on in China and Russia and other communist countries of the world, certainly Africa, other countries. They steal the food resources of other countries when they can. So I can't help but wonder about the U.S. The U.S. has food production, and apparently we are cutting back on it because of concerns about water. Oh, yeah. California rice fields were cut back like one third. I can't remember the total number, correct number, but one third of the water was not allowed our rice crop. Well, if we had a foreign government controlling our food production, there would be no supply problem with water. Everyone would have their water cut off, and the food would be given water. That's the way it is. So we have some things that are just kind of facing us. Like, I can really say I know it. I can't. I don't know quite what's going to happen. I just know there's these things going on, and we have to search out what is going to happen. We have to be prayerful in trying to understand, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a supply of food, and that's for sure. Plenty of food. That's what we want to have, plenty of food. There's nothing that we need more than food. Well, water. We need water. But mostly people think we can get water from the streams and the creeks. And yes, we kind of can. But, well, it's food that is always going to be something that we should pay attention to, having food supplies around us. That's what we want to do. I think about the people who have known that, oh, let's see. I think of the Paradise Fire, how what happened with that, the campfire, was so many people lost their supplies. They lost their food, they lost their everything. And everyone was thankful that there were people who still had food and supplies. Probably in Chico, for instance, and a lot of people shared what they had. It was interesting to see how it was a real shortage, and we get to figure out what are we going to do about it. There's things going on still with our shortages in this country. And it's shortages of food, it's shortages of energy, it's shortages of everything. If you look at how long it takes to get supplies and how some things just are not available because they are on those container ships out in the ocean, we have things going on. It's going to be hard. It is hard. And there's a whole lot of things that we cannot get now. So if there was a time of war, we would have even more shortages. And we've got the Ukraine and Taiwan are raising their heads to be a possible confrontation with the United States. Those are going on right now, and they could easily turn into something. Are we prepared to have a two-front war, one in China and one in, well, Taiwan and one in Ukraine? It's a good question, and I don't mean I know the answer to that. All I know is there's problems going on that could really turn into a very serious problem. So let's get our supplies in order. Everybody needs food, everybody needs water, everybody needs supplies. And for the water, you know, I always talk about the Big Berkey water filter, and I think that's the best one to have. Because if things ever do, well, they say like going south, will it go south? Yeah, it does a little bit at a time. So what if it turns into a big thing? What are we going to do? Well, we ought to have some extra supplies, some extra food, and we ought to show the love of Christ to our neighbors. That's what we are called on to do. I didn't say this yet. China has been buying up food all around the world for the last 2 years. They are filling up their warehouses with food. 2 years of buying both grains and high-calorie food. That's what they've been doing, and this has caused a shortage in our country. It has caused our prices to increase at least 10% because China has been buying up all the food. They must be expecting something to go on. Could they be expecting a war since they are getting ready to go into Taiwan? Prove it. Prove it. I can't. There's no way to know what they're going to do, but it certainly looks like that's the case, and it certainly looks like Russia is going to go into Ukraine. So, are we ready to fight a two-front war? Yeah, I don't think so. Do you remember what happened with the last war we were in? Somebody cut and run in Afghanistan. They left behind billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of supplies, of war materials in Afghanistan. It was horrible. But that's what happens when a leader says, get out, you're out of here, cut and run. It was bad. It shouldn't have happened. But we could have anything like that happen again. So, you just better pay attention to what you can do for your own self to look at what you need. Do you need some food? China's getting up, stocked up with food. So, have that look. Have a look. You sure might want to look. I know there's people who think that 6 weeks of food is good. Sure, it is good. But if there is that worldwide supply shortage, no, it's not good. You need to have 2 years of food. And that is what more than a few people are looking at now. 2 years of food on hand. Now they're talking about grains. They're talking about the basic foods, not the lovely foods that we wish we could eat, but just the basics of grains, sugar, salt, oil, and spices. And if we were going to get really hungry, we would be very pleased to have that. Well, one other thing to talk about is, well, this is about 5G. 2 years ago, I reviewed a video about 5G by Dana Ashley. And at that time, I watched it three times and got a bunch of good information from it. But I can't find it anymore. It disappeared from the internet, and I don't know why. But we have a question of if 5G is really a problem. Is it really attacking us? Yeah, it just might be. If you look at a map of the world and you find out where 5G is, you will find out that there is also a great, a lot of cases of COVID when there is 5G. So that is something. There is a map that shows that, and you could look it up too. It's a worldwide map of COVID-19 cases and a worldwide map of where 5G is dominant in a country. And so, yeah, you need to look it up and see if this is something that you believe. But it is something that is just so striking that it's really kind of unbelievable that we see it, but the authorities don't. I know that there was something earlier this week where it was talked about 5G would be allowed close to airplanes, and there was an FAA alert about that and say, no, it shouldn't happen. But as far as I know, it did. I don't know what happened. I don't know what it is. But 5G is a question that is so current and pervasive in our country that we have to figure out what does it mean. And like I just said, there is a map of the 5G deployment of antennas in lots of different areas. Well, you can look at it in Europe. You can look at it in the United States. And you can see that the same map of 5G deployments is paralleling the COVID-19 cases that area has. So is 5G making us sick? Well, it might be. It sure might be. There's an argument to look at, and that's what I think we do. We look to try to understand what these things mean and if they are true or not. I don't know how you can say they aren't true, but there is something that goes on, and we ought to be paying attention to if 5G is making us sick. And that was the name of a YouTube video. Let's see. Well, keep praying for what is going on. Pray for God's goodness to go on. And always think about what you can do to be prepared for the just in case. Of course, I'm always glad to send you my free preparedness pamphlet. And if anybody would send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I will send it right back to them. And I hope that we all remember to pray for one another. Our prayer is so important, and it just shows itself over and over and over again. Meanwhile, you can write me with questions that you think ought to be addressed, and we can look into them. Or you can write me for my free preparedness pamphlet, and you could do that by sending it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Pray for people. Pray for your family, your loved ones, people in the church. Pray for all sorts of people. Do it several minutes a week. It's not too much to ask. Can you pray 1 minute a day, 7 minutes a week? Can you do that? I know that is way less than a lot of people pray. But the point is some people don't even pray for a minute a day. And that's, I think, what we need to do. When something is on our mind, we can reach out to them in prayer and ask God to guide and protect them, which I hope you do that for me too. And what I'm considering about what is going to happen with this radio. Should I expand it or should I not? I don't know the answer to that. I know my radio guy told me that if I did, be prepared for some flack. And I just don't know what to say. If you have some idea, I would love to hear it. So thank you for listening today. And may you walk with God and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.